Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're tuned in to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Lauren Tucker, Jesse Bell, and Christina Laurie. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After unanimous approval from Council last week, tomorrow will be Kingston's first Aaliyah Edwards Day, celebrating the Kingston-born WNBA star making her debut. Aaliyah Edwards was selected 6th overall in the 2024 Women's National Basketball Association draft last month, making her the first Kingstonian drafted into the league. This comes after finishing her last year at the University of Connecticut, where she started in all 37 games she appeared in with the UConn Huskies. In her final year, she hit a career-high of 17.6 points per game, ranking 15th in program history. On Tuesday evening, she will make her regular season debut with the Washington Mystics. In celebration of her achievements, Mayor Brian Patterson brought forth the motion to proclaim tomorrow Aaliyah Edwards Day in Kingston.
There's a buzz in the community right now, because we are very proud of the accomplishments of one of our own. It's always amazing to be able to celebrate when a Kingstonian does something extraordinary on a national or international stage. And I think that this definitely fits that category. So we are looking forward to cheering Aaliyah Edwards on in the Olympics this coming summer. And of course, as she begins her professional career in the WNBA.
The Mystics will be facing off against New York Liberty tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in Washington. Along with kicking off her WNBA career this year, Edwards will also be representing Canada in the 2024 Olympics this coming summer. At this week's City Council meeting, Council voted 11-1 to conduct research on adding fluoride to Kingston's drinking water. Many Kingston residents are surprised to discover the city does not have fluoridated water, in contrast to 73% of Ontario's population. Fluoridating Kingston's drinking water has been considered in the past. The 2019 to 2022 City of Kingston strategic plan specifically included examining the feasibility of fluoridating the drinking water as a priority. The city conducted research, worked with KFLNA Public Health and Utilities Kingston, and asked Kingstonians for their input back in 2019. However, work on this project was put on pause due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the topic has not been reintroduced since. KFLNA Public Health has continued to identify the lack of fluoride in Kingston's drinking water as a major health issue, impacting the dental health of thousands of residents. Just last fall, the KFLNA area saw an alarming increase in tooth decay among school-aged children, with public health reporting 40% of children in senior kindergarten having experienced tooth decay, an increase of 60% since 2019. Three healthcare professionals stood before council on Tuesday to share their experiences working in KFLNA and to urge council to move forward with this priority. Dr. Susan Phillips spoke to her experience as a family physician in Kingston.
So after 30 years of practice in Kingston, I've seen numerous patients, young patients in their 20s or 30s, whose teeth are black and crumbling. It's really distressing to see. Fluoride is a remarkably cost-effective method for improving dental health, particularly for more vulnerable populations. And it's also a way of avoiding future infection, pain, loss of teeth, and inability to chew many foods. In other words, of avoiding more poor health than solely dental decay. I'm really pleased that the city is considering fluoridating drinking water. There's extensive evidence that fluoridated water is of benefit, protecting teeth from cavities, and that the risks are tiny. And I think others will speak to that evidence. My specific reason for speaking is to highlight health equity rather than just strong teeth. When fluoride is added to municipal drinking water, poor children benefit disproportionately.
Dr. Jennifer Archibald, a pediatric dentist in Kingston, shared what she sees every day in her office.
I'm speaking from the perspective of a dentist who's worked in five cities. This is the last city, Kingston. I've worked in Toronto, in Detroit and Michigan, in Boston and Massachusetts, as well as London, Ontario. I trained at Harvard University for my pediatric specialty. And this is the only city where there's no fluoride in the water, and I'm finding that the rates of cavities here are the highest among any of the children or adults that I've treated. These children that I treat are from lower income populations. We're one of the few offices that sees these children, and our wait list is almost 6 months. So not only that, but untreated decay can lead to pain and infection. So a lot of these children come to our office waiting months in pain and agony, and they can't eat, and they sometimes even develop facial swellings. They have to be on long courses of antibiotics. And you can imagine if that was you or your child, the agony, the sleepless nights, it's really heartbreaking. So as I said, a lot of these children, because they're so young or they have so many teeth that have cavities, they have to be treated with a surgery under general anesthesia. So imagine you're a parent and your child has to have a nasal tube to breathe, a breathing tube. And then this is the patient on the operating room table. It's really sad to me. I had 6 patients today that I had to treat with this modality just because they have nowhere else to go or their cavities are so big that we aren't able to do treatment on them awake. These are some other patients that I've had that have developed such severe facial swellings that they have to be admitted to the hospital on IV antibiotics. So their parents or their families miss out on work. They're there for days, they miss out on school, and it's really taking a toll, I would say, on our hospital system. Children in Kingston are suffering, and there's something we can do about it, something small. And I really urge council to continue the discussion on community water fluoridation and to think about reintroducing it in our community water supplies.
Dr. Peter Oglaza, KFLNA's Medical Officer of Health, was also one of the professionals who spoke to council, sharing important information and, like Dr. Phillips and Dr. Archibald, putting an emphasis on health equity.
Let's also review some of the benefits of community water fluoridation. I have some have already been mentioned. It's part of a comprehensive approach to promoting oral health across the whole population. That's the health equity aspect. It reduces tooth decay in children and adults. It is also cost effective, as mentioned. For every dollar invested in community water fluoridation, up to $42 are saved. And there's no change in behavior needed to gain benefit, unlike all the other layers of prevention. It is accessible to all, a truly universal way to help everyone. And I'll mention health equity one more time, because that's really critical here. Everyone can benefit from this, even those who are the most underprivileged. This is especially critical for those who might not be able to get to the dentist or maintain healthy individual habits for healthy teeth. I also wanted to mention that I support community water fluoridation, but I'm not alone in this position. Along with over 100 provincial, national, and international health, medical, and dental organizations who endorse community water fluoridation as a safe and effective way to prevent tooth decay. A few logos are included here on this slide, including Health Canada, the Canadian and Ontario Dental Associations, and no widely respected medical or health organization opposes fluoridation.
While most of council and the Knights delegations were in support, there was some skepticism.
Fluoride isn't the magic for healthy mouths, I'm quite sure. So the other thing I think that we really got to think about is the point here is it's a violation of our individual rights to informed consent for medication. Within a community water supply, fluoride is being added to water, even if some people don't want it. And still others do not even know about the fluoride being added to the water or about its health risks. I'm wondering why we don't look at better programs. Like, are we doing it just because it's cheap?
With the approval of this motion, information regarding the feasibility of fluoridating Kingston's drinking water will be presented to council by the end of 2024.
This motion is to have staff pick up where previous council had meant to continue and to complete this work and to bring forward the feasibility of doing this. I think this is a really important public health issue that we have not resolved, and I think it's overdue for us to do that. We continue to see our health care system under stress, and this is another one of those stress points that we could be preventing through fluoridation.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. On Tuesday, May 14th, the Kingston Grand Theatre will be launching their 2024-25 Grand on Stage season with a special launch event at 7:30 p.m. The Grand will be announcing more than 40 upcoming shows for this season, presenting a lineup of Kingston, Canadian, and worldwide talent hitting the stage. The event will also feature a sneak peek performance from Juno and Maple Blues winner Steve Strongman, who will be featured in the 2024-25 season. For free tickets to the launch event and for more on the Kingston Grand, we'll have more upcoming for you on the Kingston Curator Thursday at 2 p.m. And in the meantime, you can check out kingstongrand.ca. Running until May 15th, the Tet Center will be hosting a new exhibition, More Than Me, a Creative Interface. This inter-art exhibition will showcase the work of fiber artist Diane Resor and photographer Diane Lister, and will exhibit the artistic call and response featuring 2D and 3D pieces from these artists, including photographs, collages, embroidery, weaving, acrylic art, soft sculpture, poetry, and found objects. The exhibition will be hosted at the Tet Gallery, and admission is free, although exhibition hours may vary. For more information on this event, full show schedules, and more about the Tet, you can visit tetcenter.org/events. Registration is now open at the Kingston School of Art for summer camps and spring term classes, including adult classes, youth classes, and workshops. And running from May 15th to 30th, the Kingston School of Art will be hosting the exhibition Making Sense of Decolonization Through Intelligence, Digital, and Conventional Art Creation, created by researcher Carling Milburn. As part of the exhibition, a workshop will be hosted on May 18th from 1 to 3 p.m., where participants will be given the opportunity to create art that is showcased in the exhibition. We'll have an interview with Carly Milburn coming up for you on this week's Kingston Curator, Thursday at 2 p.m. on CFRC, so you can learn more about this project ahead of the community event. For more on upcoming KSOA events and exhibitions, you can visit ksoa.info. This week at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch the special event screenings Dawn of the Dead 45th Anniversary re-release on Tuesday, May 14th and Thursday, May 16th, as well as Pride and Prejudice on May 14th and 16th as part of the Period Romance in May series. As well, you can catch Viva Las Vegas on May 15th as part of the Psychotronic Cinema series. There's also plenty of new arrivals and more special screenings arriving every week, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for the latest cinematic adventures. And this week in live music in Kingston, you can check out these shows. Tonight, May 13th at Next Church, No Static presents Frail Body, Treehouse of Horror, Box Cutter, and Pity the Heel. Tickets are $15, although no one will be turned away for lack of funds, and masks and earplugs are free at the door. This show serves as an album release show for Artificial Bouquet by Frail Body, and the rest of the night will be serving up scrans, emo, post-hardcore, and more. For more on this gig and the gigs to come, make sure you're following at No Static Forever on Instagram, and be sure to tune in to the weekly radio show on CFRC, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. On Wednesday, May 15th, emerging upright bassist, composer, and bandleader of the Toronto jazz scene, Robert Lee Jazz, will be taking the stage at Hotel Wolf Island at 7 p.m. with a group project that celebrates Korean traditional music in tandem with jazz and musical improvisation. Admission is by donation. On Thursday, May 16th at the Mansion, One Night Riot, presented by Funk Riot Productions, celebrates local hip-hop and electronic music with performers Cacao, Jean-Jacques Dupel, Hartman, and Dirty North. Tickets for this 19-plus show are $10 in advance and $20 at the door, and the night kicks off at 8 p.m. On Friday, May 17th at the Buckle, you can catch Townie, Cody Allen James in Good Company, and Brothers Gently for an alt-country show at 8 p.m. These acts are coming to you all the way from Halifax and closer to home in Kingston and Sydenham, so country fans won't want to miss out. Tickets for this 19-plus show are $10 online in advance or $15 at the door. For more on these gigs and all of the awesome live music hitting Kingston this week, you can check out kingstonlive.ca. And here on CFRC, we launched the third season of the Kingston Curator last Thursday, bringing you the latest and greatest in Kingston arts news all summer. I'll be your host, and we'll have your arts headlines, interviews, and live music calendar, so be sure to check back every Thursday at 2 p.m. or subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk this week. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, May 13th. 2024. Mayor Brian Patterson has declared Tuesday, May 14th as Aaliyah Edwards Day here in the city of Kingston. Aaliyah Edwards Day coincides with her first professional basketball game as the Washington Mystics, who took her sixth overall in the most recent WNBA draft, will be hosting the New York Liberty in Washington. The game is set to tip off at 7 p.m. Edwards excelled here in the city of Kingston as a member of the Frontenac Falcons girls basketball team, parlaying her personal success into a scholarship with the powerhouse UConn Huskies women's basketball team. Edwards excelled at the University of Connecticut. She is 8th in career rebounds with 1,020. She is 6th in program history with 35 career double-doubles. She was the 6th player in UConn's history with 1,800 points and 1,000 rebounds. And she is ranked 15th in program history all-time with 1,861 career points. Moving now to the Stanley Cup playoffs. There were two games on the docket on Sunday night. The Florida Panthers defeated the Boston Bruins in Boston by a score of 3-2 to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. In Edmonton, the Vancouver Canucks triumphed over the Oilers 4-3 to take a 2-1 series lead. There are two Stanley Cup playoff games on the schedule for this evening. The first, at 7 p.m., sees the New York Rangers hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. The Rangers currently lead the series 3-1 and are attempting to close things out and advance to the conference finals. It is worth noting that every game in the series thus far has been extremely close, decided by a one-goal margin. At 9:30 p.m., the Colorado Avalanche will host the Dallas Stars. Dallas currently leads the series 2-1. Colorado is hoping to tie things up tonight. This concludes your sports report for Monday, May 13th. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting showers with a risk of thunderstorms this evening. Fog patches will develop near midnight. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour, becoming light this evening, and we have a low of 12 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Tuesday, May 14th, we'll have cloudy skies with a 70% chance of showers and fog patches dissipating early in the morning. We have a high of 18 and a UV index of 1 or low. Tomorrow night, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 12. On Wednesday, we finally see that rain coming to an end with clear skies and a high of 24 degrees. For the night, still clear skies with a low of 11. On Thursday, May 16th, we're expecting sunny skies with a high of 23, and for the night, cloudy periods with a low of 12. Finally, on Friday, we may expect more showers with a 40% chance of showers and cloudy skies. We'll have a high of 21. That wraps up your CFRC weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC weekly traffic report. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report for the week of May 10th to 16th. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for, Campbell Crescent, Richardson to 7 Campbell is closed until 7 p.m. tonight to facilitate water main relining for Utilities Kingston. Cataract Way Woods Drive at Centennial is closed until May 24th at 5 p.m. to facilitate the extension of Cataract Way Woods Drive. Earl Street Division to Aberdeen is closed until May 22nd at 7 p.m. for the disconnect of services and installation of new services on Earl Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed until May 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plast Arms to north end of King is closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Finally, University Avenue, Union to Earl is still closed until May 29th for the Queens JDUC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to begin the first week of February 2024 and conclude in late December of 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, expect delays in the following areas due to the contractor preparing roads for surface treatment: Lehman Road, Maple Lawn Drive, Spooner Road, Seabrook Road, and Woodburn Road. Bay Ridge Drive, Woodbine to Cataract Way Woods, expect delays until May 17th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Hudson Drive at Bay Ridge Public School, expect delays until June 28th as a contractor will be on site to complete upgrades to the school crossing. Hudson Drive at Hudson Park, expect delays until June 28th as a contractor will be on site to complete upgrades to the bus stop and pedestrian crossing. Forcer Road, Highway 38 to Stagecoach, expect delays May 13th to May 17th as a contractor will be completing the pulverizing of the road. Princess Street, Bay Ridge to Collins Bay, expect delays until May 17th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham, expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15th. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. In sidewalk closures, Venture Drive, Centennial to Resource, expect a sidewalk closure on the south side of Venture Drive to prevent pedestrian hazards arising from heavy trucks entering and exiting the soil storage facility. That wraps up your CFRC Weekly Traffic Report, and next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Events and Concerts calendar.
It's time for CFRC's Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through cfrc.ca today. Swing by Daft Brewing every Monday for four or more rounds of music trivia. Host Bon Evans will lead the event. They'll be asking questions, playing clips, showing pictures, and so much more. Test your musical knowledge as a solo attendee or as a member of a team and see if you can earn the most points. The winning team or individual walks away with bragging rights and a $50 gift card. There is also trivia on offer at the Brass Pub from 8 to 10 p.m. with a maximum team size of 4. Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar will be holding its next open mic night event on Tuesday, May 14th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Also on Tuesday, May 14th, check out Laura Jane Grace at the Broom Factory. Openers are Sam Rousseau and Worries. Doors at 7:30, show starts at 8 p.m. Every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12:45 p.m., you are welcome to experience the peace and quiet of the historical sanctuary of the Spire during a time of silent meditation and contemplation. Come and go anytime within those hours. Enter through the main doors on 82 Sydenham Street. Proof of vaccination and masks are required. All are welcome. On Thursday, May 16th, you are invited to the Circle of Song with singer, songwriter, and community song leader, Wendy Luella Perkins. Soulful singing is about presence, not performance, and every voice is welcome, including yours. This event is held online via Zoom from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Please register online in advance by searching up Soulful Singing, Queen's University. Also on Thursday, May 16th, Paint Your Night is hosting a paint night event where you can unleash your inner artist while sipping on delicious, locally made cider. Their talented instructors will guide you step by step as you create a beautiful painting to take home. No experience necessary, just come ready to have a great time and leave with a masterpiece. Grab your friends and make it a night to remember at Hardway Cider Company. The event begins at 6 p.m. and runs until 8 p.m. Friday night is karaoke night at Daft Brewing. The karaoke begins at 9 p.m. and runs until midnight. Check out the $4 shots and $6 light lagers. This event is hosted by AA DJs. Friday nights are also when you can catch Chris Jackson playing live classic rock and country staples at Blue Martini from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And also on Friday, May 17th, the Kingston Grand Theatre presents Together Again, a tribute to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Doors at 7 p.m., the show starts at 7:30. On Saturday, May 18th, Utilities Kingston presents Spring into Summer. Swing by Lake Ontario Park between 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. for this spring send-off slash summer celebration. This special event at Lake Ontario Park will feature a number of fun activities for kids and adults alike, such as the inflatable rock climbing wall, Radical Rush obstacle course, and the splash pad. Daft Brewing will be on site with a beer garden for those aged 19+. The event will end with a firework finale scheduled to begin after 9 p.m. This event is free for the public. On Sunday, May 19th, Jay Smith, formerly known as Smitty Kingston, will be performing live at the Caesar Company from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. swing by and enjoy Jay's authentic contemporary country music. This concludes CFRC's community concert and events calendar for the week. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage funky one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.